How many know we're going to do His will?
Amen.
Surrender to His will. When I surrender to His will, it's going to hurt. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because the flesh is weak. Spirit is willing. Anybody relate? Amen. And what do we follow? Do we follow the will or do we follow our will? And when we choose to do His will, the flesh usually has an attitude of its own. How many know what I'm talking about? And we have a choice to make. And this morning, you know, the Lord was showing me that there are many times that we release words. And we release a lot of things out into the air. And when we're releasing it, it's going to go to the north, south, east, and west. So I'd like to take you with me on a little journey to Isaiah 55. So Father, this morning I ask that you would give us, first of all, your grace, that this word would come to life. And that this word would bring release to the hearts for your glory. In Isaiah, the Lord is trying to teach His children. He says, come, verse 1. All of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Now, how are you going to buy and eat if you have no money? Say, it's not a problem for God. How many know the Israelites were in the desert and they were complaining that they had no meat? And all of a sudden He sent them quail and they all got sick on it because they ate it like pigs. He gave them their heart's desire and they ended up sick. They didn't do His will, they wanted their will.
Amen.
Somebody's got to relinquish to Him what His plan is for you in your life rather than your own plan. And your plan is going to want to please everybody.
Amen.
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 And God says, Are you going to be a servant of the Most High God or a servant to the pressure tactics of people? When we serve people, God feels rejected. When we serve the will of someone else rather than His will, you're going to have repercussions. Verse 2. Why spend money on what is not bread? So what is He talking about? He's talking about spiritual bread and not natural bread. Because spiritual bread won't cost you anything. Except it'll cost you your life. You're not going to have your life anymore. You're going to have His life. And you labor on what does not satisfy. In other words, satisfaction of your own flesh will backfire on you. I'm not trying to say I'm a professional, but I've been there. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions will delight. Your soul will get satisfaction if you get spiritual bread. And yet, I ain't got time to read my Bible today. I'm going to be doing this and doing that because I feel like. Your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may perish quickly. Or is that a misprint? Misprint, huh? My Bible says that your soul may live, yet it's going to feel like it's dying. When you're doing it God's way, you will die to your soul, to your mind, to your will, and to your emotions. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. Why is David involved? Because David had a son. His name is Jesus. You thought I was going to give you all the natural sons. Jesus is the son of God. He's the son of David. Why? Why is it important that he should be born in the lineage, natural and spiritual, of David? Because David was a forecaster of the awesome king that would come. See, I have made him witness to the people, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. See, I don't feel like so splendoring today. But we're not going to go by that because that's part of your soul. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. And the evil man his thoughts. In other words, when you're submitting to your mind and your thoughts, you are called evil by God, not by me. Because I've been there. So don't go by your thinking. Go by his word in this direction. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. He will forgive you for those thoughts. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Close your eyes. Repeat after me, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, Lord. Neither are my ways. Or are your ways, declares my God to me. Verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain, by the way, it is raining, right? And the snow comes down from heaven. Do not return to it, and 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 do not return to it. Did you notice my tape is stuck? Why is my tape stuck? And do not return to it, and do not return to it. Without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Now you say, wait a minute. Well, I've got news for you. This is the fall season, and if you owned a farm, you'd definitely set some seeds aside so that you'd have some for the spring planting. you'd also take some aside from last spring that you would have taken and the first harvest, and you would put in winter wheat. So you'd be planting some seeds now for a crop in the spring. And we decide that we can't afford to give or to set seeds aside. We eat it. If the farmer of old had not taught his children how to set seeds aside and plant it in good ground, he'd have no harvest and his children would starve. That's natural wisdom. But spiritual wisdom is the same thing. If you put only the thoughts of the earth and the mind of men and women of the earth and people with the thoughts of the earth as your priority, you will fail. And you will crumble like they are crumbling. But if you put God's thoughts and God's ideas and God's revelation first, the rest of the people will hate you. They'll criticize you. But our God will lift you up in due season. That's what it's talking about. Verse 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. As you declare God's word out of whose mouth? Your mouth. It will not return empty. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field, that means all the people, will clap their hands, and instead of thorn bush will grow the fir tree, and instead of the briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. What is God saying to me and you today? It means rather than getting a harvest of lousy trees, we're going to have valuable trees growing up in the knowledge of God and of His ways. Trees are people. There are different types of people. Had a discussion with an individual not too long ago about trees. And we talked about a vision that had been brought. And it related to one of the visions that Daniel had about a very powerful man happening to be a king. And it was a tall oak tree. How many know when the wind blows real hard that the oaks don't bend? They what? They snap. Well, I could declare to you that at one time that vision was given over me. And guess what? God knows how to humble me. God knows that if I can snap, He'd also pick me back up and change me from what I was to what I needed to become. I was rigid. I liked it my way.
I did it my way.
And failed. And when that was brought before me, the Lord decided, He says, Kim, don't you understand? I want to do it my way. And I said to Him, but your way hurts. Do I have any amens out there?
Amen.
Your way hurts, Lord. He said, did I not take the tree that was intended to be blossoming before heaven and let my body die on it? And I said, yes, but what a price. He says, yeah, the price was for eternal life. Not just for you, but for all those that would humble themselves and would come
under that tree.
So you see, King Nebuchadnezzar was an awesome man of God, and he had an ability to bring shade and comfort to all of his people. And God snapped him. But he didn't take the roots out. Didn't take the roots out, did he? Out of the old roots came a new tree. A humble tree. A tree that would obey. I got to remind you that the enemy, Satan himself, was very proud, and he wanted to climb above the hills of God. Above into the north of God. And he would be the one that would get all the worship. So what he did is he turned one third of heaven away from God's plan. And did God let him succeed? Did God let Satan succeed? He'll give you the same privilege. He did not create robots. I remember again having several long talks with the Lord about this selfish will that I had. Letting him know that I couldn't change it. I wanted to do it his way. But I don't know anybody that likes the crucifix. I don't know anybody that likes to be crucified. But there was a choice that I could make, and let it be done according to his will. Now, many times when you and I look to the Lord for the next wave of his grace and this next wave of mercy, we say, God, give me grace, give me mercy. But how much of it do you give? Do you have a space where you say, this far and no more? Oh, how come you guys know that one? And you declare, I'll go this far and
no more.
Is that doing it his way?
No.
That's still doing it with what I can handle and how much I can do and how much I can produce and how much I can give up. So who's still in the control room? Thank you. Is that Jesus being Lord of your life? No. It's usually fear hiding in the background saying that's as far as you're going to go, because then you're going to die. And guess what? You're still here, aren't you? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not dead yet. But I don't mind being on the cross next to you. Oh, some of you said it quickly, huh? I don't mind being on the cross next to you. Why? I don't mind being on the cross. Yes, I do mind being on the cross next to you. Yes, I do mind. I don't like the cross. I don't like doing it his way. Yet the way that will be wise to your own thoughts will be comfortable, cozy, and pretty natural. And you will find quite a few to agree with you quickly. Amen? Yeah. I'll help you with this. I'll even come and I'll help educate you. And I'll even support you while you're in this tough space. And what are you doing? You're feeling sorry for them and you're helping them to continue in their self-destruction. And yet it's comfortable for the soul. Isaiah 55 is not a mistake. It says the words that you speak will produce either for hell or for heaven. Either for eternal glory or self-satisfaction. Ouch. So when I decide to do it his way, the heavens will have to be torn. That veil that separates you and me from God has to come down. That's why that song was so important this morning. That veil that separates me from God. That veil of thinking, that stinking thinking, destroys what God wants to do with me and the eternal destiny that He's planned for me. The eternal destiny that He's planned for me. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes right now. The eternal destiny that He has planned for me. Your eyes closed. Don't look around. The eternal destiny that God has planned for me. If you haven't got a clue about your destiny with God, lift up your right hand and don't look around. Put your head back down, please. I want you to repeat with me. Jeremiah 29. Verse 11. Jeremiah 29. Verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. A plan to what? Okay, come on. A plan to? And a plan to? Well, somebody's going to have to go to Jeremiah 29:11. Because you guys don't know it yet. Oh, really? Try it one more time, nice and loud, girl.
Plan to prosper you and not to harm you.
To give you hope and a future. That's God's plan to create in you a hunger for the eternal destiny that He's planted in you, just like some computer chips have already planted in them. Amen?
Amen.
Unless the information is in there, nothing's going to happen. When God put me together in my mother's womb, Jeremiah chapter 1, He knew all about me, and He knew that I would be a man of God. How many saw Benny Hinn the past week? And the heavenly man. The heavenly man. I'm a heavenly man. And my mother is faith, hope, and love. Yeah, and he drove China nuts. Yeah. I'm a heavenly man. That's who I am. That's my name. And my mother is faith, hope, and love. And he drove them nuts. And they persecuted him. And they beat on him. And still he came out what? Asking God, would you just take me home? Would you just take me home? I can't take this anymore. I want to die. Yeah. And guess what? Instead of giving him a vision about God whisking him out of his body and taking him into the heavenlies, God showed him open doors. And what did he see? He saw every single door of the jail open. And sure enough, when it was God's timing, the Lord told him, get up. And he'd forgotten. He had gotten beat up. His legs were bad. His feet were bad. He had no pain, and he started to walk. And as he's walking, he's following, and the doors are automatically opening. And he said, God, this is awesome. Yeah. And finally, the gates of the jail itself opened up. And at the door, next to the sidewalk, is a taxi with the door open. And he got in. God's not done with miracles yet if you do it His way. God God's not finished with any one of us if we do it. But if we do it our way, we bring ourselves to a dead end.
A little more.
2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. In the NIV, there's a heading. It says, sowing generously. Remember this. Whenever, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Doesn't say you shouldn't give, it says you should give. But whatever you decide to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. So if you think I'm trying to twist your arms to give something, you've got news coming. Because I'm not going to do it. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good works, as it is written. He has scattered abroad the gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed, that's the broken record again. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your storehouse or your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That goes both ways. If you sow judgment, you're going to get. If you sow righteousness and love and compassion and mercy, hope, all those things that are belonging to the Holy Ghost, you're going to reap. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the need of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in that prayer for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. When you say, is he talking about money? That's part of it. Is he talking about your time? That's also part of it. Is he talking about your accountability? Absolutely. He's talking about all those things that are going to perform what others are looking at. Why is it that we are generous towards each other? Because God has an open opportunity to bless us back. But if I'm stingy, you are the one that sets your own pace as to how much grace you're going to get. How many victories you're also going to get will depend on your decisions to obey Him. You see, many years ago, I was seduced. How many have ever been seduced to give something that you weren't supposed to give? Felt like an absolute fool. Because somebody pressured me into giving something that I could not afford to do. And I paid an incredible price, and where that gift was supposed to go, it could not go. Because I gave it to the wrong place. If I ever seduce you, or a spirit of seduction uses me to hurt you in any way, I want to hear about it. I want a telephone call from you. I want a note in the basket. I want to know. because I've seen so much damage in the church and the gossip that it creates and the pressure tactics that does not come from God. This is a harvest season. When you harvest, what do? If it's corn, you're going to set some corn seeds aside to plant for
corn
next spring, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, does that also mean that you can't feed the neighbors if you've got an extra? Yeah, you got to give. Because unless you give, God can't bless you. Because I know sometimes we say, oh, God bless those who can't give. They need to be blessed. They need to have seed in their pocket. I've seen people say, don't bless them because they haven't given. Well, I can't. I remember one time I had nothing to give. I remember a friend of mine who happened to be a pastor. He gave out his wedding band in the offering plate. You know why? Because he needed gold. I'm not teasing. I'm telling you the truth. When the offering plate was examined, somebody saw the gold and didn't know where it came from. Set it aside and began to pray. I don't know how many days or weeks later it was, but the gold was returned to him. What was God saying when he saw this man take his wedding band off and put it in a basket? What was God saying? Was it because the basket needed a ring? Or is it because he needed to be faithful to what the press was in his heart to do? Yeah. He had a press in his heart to take it off and give it to the Lord. And to utterly, utterly give it up. I've seen two sides of that same story. I've seen one story, the ring was returned and the marriage was restored. I've also seen that the choice of another marriage, because one partner did not want to submit to God's will, but the damage was forever. I'm trying to be honest with you today. You need to humble yourself and do it his way. No matter what he tells you, to the best of your ability. And if you can't do it, ask him for grace. Because he's watching your and my heart. He wants to have us submissive to his will. And there are angels at the north, south, east, and west. This morning when I walked in, and the bread was prepared to put on the table, my sister brought Joseph bread. Yeah. She goes off to St. Louis and she comes back, and then the Lord tells her, get some Joseph bread. Why did she do it? You think I understand it? No. A few weeks ago, my other sister came up with four grapes made out of some kind of metal, right? Yeah. You weren't here the day that we gave the testimony about what it meant. Talk to me one of these days. I'll tell you all about it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When you and I obey him, the balance will fall into place.